Hello.
Hello.
Who am I talking to?
Well, last I looked, it's Wes Reimnitz out of Springfield, Illinois.
How you doing, Wes?
Well, I'm awake. We had a bad thunderstorm earlier in the morning, and it's drying out now.
Yeah, I was having trouble with my computer, but I got it working now. And we're all set. On a new subject, you will fail, and you will fail often, but still you can honor God. That's our subject for today. Let me ask you this question. Remember when the disciples were crossing over the Sea of Galilee, and a violent wind came up?
Yeah, and out of nowhere, Jesus is walking on the water.
Exactly. That's what we want to look at right now. That's what we're looking at. Matthew's account says the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves.
Yeah.
And what else did the Matthew account say?
Well, buffeting kind of means to torture or torment. The waves were crazy that the men in the boat may have thought that the discipling days were over. They thought the ship was going down.
And that their discipling days were over.
Right.
Then something happened between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. What was that?
They saw Jesus, a rope billowing in the wind, walking towards them out of darkness on the water. And it's important for us to remember that they were quite a ways out in the lake. They weren't on the shore where he was walking on stones or something like that. He was out in the Sea of Galilee, and there's parts of that sea that gets 140 feet deep.
That's how deep it gets?
That's how deep it gets. It's
wow.
One of the articles we read.
What did Jesus say to them?
Well, it's the famous, don't be afraid, take courage, I am here.
And that set the stage for one of the most dramatic encounters in the New Testament. Who called out to Jesus?
Well, it's Peter that's calling out. He said, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water.
Isn't that amazing? How did he reply?
Well, of course he said yes. He said come. He gave him the command to come to him.
Now that's amazing. I saw an advertisement on the radio recently. Well, it was actually on the television, where a guy is walking across the top of the water going to get a soda. And he walks on the water over the lake to get a soda. And it reminded me of Jesus walking on the water, which, of course, nobody can do.
Well, you can do it if it's TV magic, you know, films. But here
That's
you got
right.
the real deal. Here you got the real deal of God himself walking on water.
Excellent. So what did Jesus say to Peter?
Well, he told Peter, he said, to come.
Yes.
A one-word command, come.
So what did Peter do?
Well, he decided to come. He went over the side of the boat and walked on water towards Jesus. But then he saw
but
the wind in the wind.
What happened as he was walking on the water?
Well, he becomes terrified. He took his sights off of Jesus, and he looks at the waves, and he begins to sink.
Now, the title of this essay we received is You Will Fail, Fail Often, But Still You Can Honor God. How did Peter do that?
Well, of course, he was terrified and he began to sing, but he said, Save me, Lord. I think it's very important for us as we discuss this article to remind ourselves of how Peter looked to Jesus and in faith began to walk, and the minute he takes his eyes off, he begins to sing. And then it comes back to Jesus where he says, Save me.
And what did Jesus immediately do?
He reached out and grabbed him.
And what did Jesus say to Peter?
Oh, you with so little faith, why did you doubt me?
Yeah, isn't that interesting? That Peter that says, you know, save me, Lord. What little faith did Peter have?
Well, he took that step of faith, looking towards Jesus, and that little faith escaped him when he saw the storms and the torment coming his direction, and he took his eyes off of Jesus.
Yes. This is a stunning step of faith Peter took that stormy night. He did what no one else in the boat would do, or even think of doing. Now, sometimes people criticize Peter. Why do they criticize Peter?
Well, for being outspoken or putting his, he had a habit of putting his foot in his mouth.
Yes. A lot of ink is given in the Gospels to Peter's mistake and shortcoming. But let's not forget that he was the only one of the disciples who was willing to put all of it on the line in those wee hours of the morning and walk on the water toward Jesus.
It's an amazing thing because he walks with no safety net. He wasn't wearing water wings or a life jacket, and there was no backup plan. It was either Jesus coming through for him or nothing.
Yes. Now, where did this faith come from?
Well, I would say from the word of Jesus.
Excellent. This is how we should live our life, by the word of Jesus. Peter had asked permission. And when we ask permission, what does Jesus say?
He says, come. You know, it's just have at it.
Yes.
You know, the scriptures tell us that faith comes from hearing and hearing the word of God, Romans 10:17.
Excellent. Peter heard the word of God that blistery night, calling to him out of darkness across the water. Can you think of many times over the years when we've heard the Lord say, come, and we say no?
Well, there are times, and I wouldn't say that it's an audible voice of God. To be honest, I'd be kind of suspicious of people who say that they have, but there are times where he's directly called us. And you probably have experienced it when you knew that the Lord put you in that place at that time. Now, I can think of hospital pools where of people running through crisis in their life and sitting down and remember people telling me, you came just at the right time. And I thought it was just the right time for the Lord to send me in.
Yes. It wasn't impossible for Peter to obey the word of Jesus. Although he was looking across that stretch of tortured water.
Yeah. It's obeying the command that's there where Jesus says, come. And I think that's one of the things that we take from this, is he heard the word of God and he believed and he saw and he went.
That's found throughout the Bible. In fact, there was a King Jehoshaphat who was David's great, great, great grandson. And the little nation of Judah, what was happening to them?
Well, it was kind of interesting. They were under attack. If you read it in Second Chronicles,
yes.
It talks about them. There was a multitude of armies. There were at least 3 to 4 armies and thousands of soldiers that were going to wage war against Judah.
So what did Jehoshaphat do?
Well, he made the best choice possible. He called a national day of prayer. One of the things to remember about Jehoshaphat is we're reading from 2 Chronicles 20, and you back it up three chapters to 2 Chronicles chapter 17, and there it talks about how Jehoshaphat came to reign Judah, and he walked with the Lord, and the Lord was with him. And so he calls this national day of prayer, and he assembles the whole nation. And standing in their midst, Jehoshaphat prayed aloud, O God, will you not judge them? For you have no power to face the vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you.
That's 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 12. That can be one of the favorite prayers in the Bible. Lord, what does Judah say?
We don't know where to turn. We don't know how to escape. We don't have a plan to defend ourselves. We don't know what to do. But our eyes are on you, Lord. We look for you as our only help and hope.
Yes, and so that's where faith is, looking to Jesus for their only help and hope. God came through in a spectacular, unforgettable way. What does the New Testament tell us?
Well, in Hebrews chapter 12, it tells us to run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. You know, we just finished with the Olympics, and the runners had their eyes fixed on that gold medal of winning the race. And it kind of reminds us that we have a higher calling, and we should fix our eyes on Jesus.
Yes, in fact, there were some of the Olympic folks that thanked Jesus for their victory.
Yeah, that was quite interesting. One lady sang, a swimmer sang a gospel hymn, and thanking Jesus, thanking God for her reward.
Yes. So we all have lapses of faith. You may be walking in faith one day, but then have an attack of fear in the night and not have it the next. You can have faith for an hour, but then let it slip away a few minutes later. That's what it means that we can fail. You're believing God. You're taking risks. You're applying faith. You're quoting scripture. Then what happens all of a sudden?
Well, the questions start buzzing around your head like a swarm of bees, and you lose the handle on your faith and resolve.
Yes. Those who have been listening to Law and Gospel have heard that I was off the air for about 6 days because I was in the hospital. I had a problem with my ankle. I was believing God, but I had a problem with my ankle, and it had a problem where I needed to have blood transfusion every day for 6 days. I'm finally at home again. What did I do in a situation like that?
Just facetiously saying, I don't know, because you never contacted us. But on the other hand, you were talking to me, you were talking to the Lord.
And that's right.
Prayer.
What do the scriptures say about Peter?
Well, he felt himself sinking, and he said, well, you of little faith, why did you doubt? You know, he swirled in his mind what was going on. I can imagine the pain and the agony you were going through at that time. And there were those of us that were raising up our prayers to God to watch over you.
Yeah, I was not having a happy time in the hospital. And that was because of my illness. But the doctors, the nurses did a good job in treating me.
I think that's important to remember, that when we cry out to the Lord for help, is that he sends to us doctors, nurses, technicians, variety of people that aid in that healing process. And oftentimes, you probably have done this too, is at the bedside of one, that you include the doctors and nurses and the hospital in that process, that God would give them the healing hands to restore your health.
Perhaps people listening to us today are experiencing a lack of the hand of God. But this is the hand of God that created the galaxies. So as you hear this particular broadcast, you are experiencing perhaps your own lapse of faith. It's okay. It's no disgrace. What are you to do?
To reach out and fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. You know, this is such a good story, that the incident when Paul takes his eyes off, or Peter takes his eyes off of Jesus, he begins to sink, and then he cries out for help to Jesus, and his eyes are back on Jesus, and Jesus is there to save him.
Yes, that is the key. That even though at times we doubt, we do not doubt in full lack of faith, but we call on Jesus to help us.
Yeah.
Many people do nothing at all with their faith, but then they have the audacity to critique others who do apply their faith and venture into the unknown. Perhaps at some point in your life, you took a bold step of faith, and it didn't go as you had hoped, but you shared the gospel with someone, and it really made a difference for them.
I think that's important, you know, and it's something that you can share the gospel with somebody, or you can start a home Bible study with somebody, just praying for someone who is sick and their condition got worse. Remember to include them in your prayers.
The Church of Jesus Christ is comprised of many people who have stepped out, who have crawled over the side of the boat and taken risks for their sake. And they do so by calling on the name of Jesus. Maybe you have labored tirelessly behind the scenes, doing the work of God and holding up your brothers and sisters in prayer. Who do you pray to?
Well, our Father sees that what we've done in secret, and he answers our prayers, and I think that's so important. And I think you've said this many times, that God answers our prayers, yes, but he answers them in his own time and in his own way.
So we often end up plunging into cold water, and that would be well worth the remedy, holding our hands with other Christians and the Lord of all. So that is the hope that we have, that Jesus will always hear us, take care of us, and rescue us. That is his promise.
And as a reminder, you know, Jehoshaphat called that National Day of Prayer, and the next day they go into the valley and they find that the armies are decimated. God had answered their prayers.
Yeah, what happened to those armies?
They were dead. They just, the Bible tells us that they were laying dead on the ground. God had come in and decimated the whole area.
Yeah, they say it was the angel of the Lord, that came in that night and put to death the enemies of Judah. That was a wonderful gift that God gave to his Christian alliance. And it's a gift that he gives to every Christian as we call upon the name of the Lord. What's a wonderful prayer that we can use to call upon the Lord?
Well, it's always the Lord's Prayer. I remember when I made hospital calls, I had a prayer with him. Last prayer I'd have with him would be the Lord's Prayer.
Exactly. The most important prayer we learn from the Bible is the Lord's Prayer, because it begins by calling on the Father. Join with us tomorrow to hear more about the importance of calling upon God the Father. Until then, God bless you.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday morning at 9:30 on KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Law and Gospel, please make your check out to Law and Gospel and mail to Law and Gospel, P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132, or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962.
Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.